Psalm 63, if you would. Thanks for coming tonight. I do pray for Pastor. He's not feeling well. Just pray for, especially for this Sunday. It's a big day, so I just pray that you, or if you would, pray for him. Also pray for this Sunday. It's going to be an awesome day. I encourage you, you know, if you do have anybody you can think of to bring them. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a lot of fun. Just a reminder, no Sunday school, so we're going to go right to the service. But do come a little early because we are still going to have that fellowship time around 10, right? Around 10-ish? Around 10 o'clock. So it'll be a good time to bring them, meet people and all that. So it'll be a fun day. Psalm chapter 63, if you would. I love the book of Psalms. Psalms is lots of encouragement in there. It's just obviously a long book, but a very good book. And we know that the main writer of the book of Psalms is who? David. So David wrote most of the book of Psalms. And we're going to read one of my favorites tonight. If you would, stand with me. We're going to read Psalm chapter 63. We're going to read most of the psalm. It's not a very long one. So we'll start in verse number 1. The Bible says this, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now, it's kind of a cool picture because he's not just writing that, because I don't know if your Bible has this, but most of the Psalms have a little title above it. You guys see that? Mine says, A Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. So he was in a literal wilderness. But he's saying, more than water, God, more than food, and I desire you. In verse number 2, he says, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul, and this is really the verse that I really want to focus on, where he says this, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Look at verse number 8 one more time. It says this, my soul followeth hard after thee. Tonight we're going to talk about our pursuit of God and our pursuing of God. So let's pray and then we'll jump right into this. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this evening, God. I thank you for everything that we've just been able to be a part of so far, Lord. God, I thank you so much for everyone that's here tonight. I thank you for their willingness just to be faithful to your house on a Wednesday night, Lord. I know some of them came straight from work. I know some of them are tired. So, Lord, I just pray that you'd bless them for their efforts of being here tonight, God. I pray that you'd be with us as we dive into your word, as we talk about something, God, that's can be pretty simple, Lord, but, God, this can be something that can grow our Christian lives, and I pray that we would take it to heart, Lord. I pray that we would learn a lesson from David tonight, Lord. I pray that you give us a good evening. Again, be with our pastor as he's not feeling well. Just heal him up, Lord. We love you. In your name I pray, amen. You may be seated. In college, I had this friend. His name was Carl, and Carl liked a girl, okay? And if you're married, you can remember the time where, you know, you first had your crush on your wife or whatever. Carl, he was kind of he was a funny guy, but he had this girl that he had his eyes, you know, he had his mind set on, like, this is the girl. And before I think they even talked, like, he knew that this is the one for me. Like, I'm going to marry this girl. The problem was that girl wanted nothing to do with Carl. Nothing to do with Carl, okay? And Carl, like I said, he was a funny guy. He was a good guy, but he was funny, you know? He's just kind of a silly guy. But Carl, I mean, time after time after time, like, every time a dating activity would come up, he'd go and ask her. Because that's the girl he wanted to marry. No other girl, that's the girl, okay? Time after time after time. I remember one time he told me that he got her flowers, and, like, she had no, there was no mutual interest in her, okay? I want, you know, get that to you, but he got her flowers. He was actively trying to pursue this girl, and she was not reciprocating at all. And I don't know if over time he just, like, wore her down. I don't know. Okay? I don't know if she was just getting annoyed. That's my guess. Okay? But eventually she said yes. She went on a date with Carl, and now they're married. Okay? And Carl knew what he wanted, and he pursued that girl, and he married her. And I think that is a great illustration. Really, it's a great, just to what we're going to talk about tonight. And David, his whole life, you can see, was an active pursuit of God. And something he wanted more than anything was to build his relationship and to grow in his knowledge and to grow in his love for God. Three things we're going to talk about tonight. A little bit about this psalm real quick. David, like I said before, David is writing from the wilderness of Judah. And from like where this psalm is located in the book of Psalms and the fact that he's in the wilderness of Judah, people believe that why he's there was when he was, you might remember this story, when he's on the run from Absalom. Okay, he's technically the king of Israel, but his son, his traitorous, rebellious son, basically took the kingdom from him. Now David is on the run. It's a great story of David's attitude. If you don't know that story, I encourage you to read it. It's awesome. And but he's here in the wilderness. So think about this. That's where he's at. That's his state of mind. Like, I have this son that's kicked me out of my kingdom. I don't know if I'm going to be the kingdom again. And I'm in this wilderness where I was in a palace. Now I'm out here in the middle of nowhere. And what is he focusing on? He's focusing on his relationship and his desire to know God in an even greater way. I think that is so awesome. And that is so just that that's a beautiful picture of David. Okay, that's what his life was really about. What David really understood was the more that we seek God and the more he reveals to reveals himself to us, the more we want to pursue him. And that was David. The more he found out about God, or the more his relationship got deeper with God, the more he wanted of it. And the more he actively, again, pursued it. Listen to these few verses from the book of Psalms. Psalm 34:8 says this, David talking here, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Psalm 42, another one of my favorite psalms, verses 1 and 2 says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" He was dying to come before God's presence. And in the beginning of our chapter here, verse 1 and 2, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I've seen in thy sanctuary." Again, David was not satisfied. David was not satisfied with where his relationship was. He wanted to keep on growing in his relationship with God, and he kept on pursuing his relationship with God. So the question is, how do we pursue God? Or how do we grow in this relationship with God? And again, like I said, this is not going to be anything like, wow, this is mind-blowing stuff. It's going to be super simple stuff, but stuff that I believe that we can apply to our lives. How do we pursue God? I think the first way we can do this is to develop just a knowledge of God. Develop a knowledge of God. David did this. We all have interests, right? Everybody has interests in something. I'm not talking about necessarily the Bible. You have some kind of hobby, right? Whether it be, I know a lot of people like cars. I'm not very mechanical when it comes to cars. I know like steering wheel, right? No. But when I was a kid, or I'm not a kid, I guess, when I was a teenager, my first car, if you've seen Mitchell's car, it was a 66 red Ford Mustang, okay? And that was my hobby when I was 16 years old, was working on that thing, because his was a little nicer than mine. Mine died a lot. Mine died one time in Pastor's driveway. Do you remember that? And I spurted all this nasty junk all over his driveway. But I was 16. That was whatever. So he forgave me and hired me. So that's good. But I remember when I got that car, I literally knew nothing. Luckily, Brother Welchman was here. He helped me a lot with that car. And I got books. I did whatever I could to try to figure that thing out. I think sometimes I like tweaked it to where, you know, it wouldn't run, and then he'd have to come over and help me and everything. So, but I wanted to learn about it. It was an interest of mine. Some of you guys may have some hobbies that you're interested in and you learn about. Sometimes, guys, maybe you're in this. Maybe you're like starting to get in the hobby. You know, you're just like, man, this is really interesting to me. And you get all the stuff you need for that hobby. You know what I'm talking about? You get, okay, if you're going to bike, I need the outfit, and I need a nice bike, and I need the sweet shoes, and I need a sweet helmet, you know? And then you, like, do it for, like, 2 weeks, and it kind of fizzles out. You guys, okay? You know, but we all have some kind of interest. And when we have those interests, if you're like me, man, I like, dive full, you know, full on into those things, and I study them. And I do everything I can to get to know those things. You know, I try to get as much as I can out of those, whether it's cars or boats or some kind of a hobby. We all have interests. Now, here we can see that one of our goals, okay, is maybe to make it a goal to learn about God. Now, that sounds like, man, that's so, like, academic. That sounds like so boring. But really, getting to grow in our relationship to God includes getting to know, have a knowledge of Him. Okay, one of the coolest things, one of the greatest things about this is that we can never cover all there is about God. If you study God's Word, you can always, I mean, you can think about how many times maybe you've read through the Bible or how many times you've read a certain passage of Scripture and something new pops out and something fresh pops out. And you're like, man, I have read this so many times and this just popped out at me. You know, how is that happening? Because we can never get all we can out of God's Word and all we can about God. We can never cover all there is about God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Jesus says this. This is actually a rebuke, but it's a good reminder to us. He says this, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He's saying, you want to know me? Look in the Scriptures. What's the best place we can go to learn about this knowledge of God? The Scriptures. All right? Study the Bible. Okay, study the Bible. Get into God's Word and gain this understanding and this knowledge of God. And again, that may sound like, man, that's so just like, I don't want to study God. But there's so much to Him. And when you get to know Him in that aspect, when you get to know who He is and what He's like and what He does, you're going to grow in your relationship and in your love for Him. Study the Bible. Read good books. Talk to godly people about the Lord and learn all you can about God. Don't stop studying. Don't stop being hungry to gain a knowledge of God. Paul, in the book of 2 Timothy, this is one of the last books that he's writing. He's nearing his death, really. And in 2 Timothy 4:13, this is what Paul writes. He says, he's asking for things. He's in prison. He says this, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou camest, bring with thee. And he says this, and the books, but especially the parchments. It's kind of like, you know, bring these things with you, but especially bring the books and the parchments. Why? Because he wanted to keep on learning. He wanted to keep on growing in that knowledge. Okay, not on just the knowledge of mathematics or whatever. He wanted to grow in his knowledge of God. Okay, the more you get to know about God, the hungrier you'll become for more. The more you start to dive into God and just how much there is, the more you're going to want to learn to study about Him. What do I mean by this? So, you know, what do I mean by studying God? One of the greatest things you can do, I've heard a couple things, you know, you can really dive into God's Word. One of the greatest things you can do to start is start on the attributes of God. You know, what is God like and what are some of His attributes? I wrote a couple down that we can learn from, and we know that God is love. One of God's attributes is that of love. 1 John 4:8 says this, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That was awesome what that lady said, how I don't know why God loves me, but He does. That is so awesome. Why? Because God is love. We know that God is sovereign, that He's in control of everything. Psalm 135:6 says, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and all the deep places. He's faithful. And one of His attributes is that He's faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation take you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Okay? He's all-knowing. Luke 12:7 says this, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. I love that. If God knows, I mean, God knows something as silly as the number of hairs on my head. He is all-knowing. And when we learn about God, when we start to study these things, especially something like the attributes of God, when we gain this knowledge and we dive into this knowledge of God, then we can start applying it to our lives. You think about the fact that God is sovereign. That God is in complete control of everything. If we understood that about God and we said, I mean, God, You're sovereign, I believe that, then we can understand that there's nothing we need to fear. If He's in control of everything, then we don't need to fear. You know, a lot of people may stop here though, okay? I have this knowledge of God. I like to have this knowledge to impress other people. You know, you could have that kind of a haughty spirit. Like, if we stopped here and that's all we talked about, that wouldn't be good. Because the Bible says, Paul says that knowledge puffeth up. He also says that there were some people that had a form of godliness, okay, but denied the power thereof, meaning that they knew the words to say, they knew how to look and all that stuff, but there's really nothing there. Okay, there's more to it than just that. Don't stop with just the knowledge of God. I see next we can develop our relationship with God. Okay, going from You think about this. You think about, you know, when you're maybe, if you are married, you think about you when you first started pursuing your spouse, you kind of got to know them a little bit, right? Say, is this somebody that I really want to, you know, get to know or to spend the rest of my life with? And then from there, you started developing your relationship with them, okay? What did you do to develop that relationship? What are some things that we can do to develop our relationship with God, okay? The first thing I see is we can make time for God. It's something super simple, right? Make time for God. Just like you would make time in any other relationship. David said this. David said in Psalm 119:164, he said, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. 7 times. He made time for God. Daniel said this in Daniel 6 and chapter 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. David said 7 times a day. Daniel said 3 times a day. Now, I don't think they're like setting this as how many times you need to pray and how many times you need to read your Bible and get alone with God. I don't think that's the number they're setting. But what I did want to bring out was the fact that these guys, some guys really you can take example from, they made time for God. They set time aside and said, I'm making, whether it's 7 times or 3 times or 1 time, whatever it is, they made time for God. Don't give God your spare time. Make time for him. I'm thinking like my relationship with my wife. It's, you know, if I only gave her my spare time, I don't know how that relationship would do, right? If I didn't give her time at all, that relationship would not be very good. Same thing with God. If we're not making time, if we're not giving him time, that relationship is going to suffer. David said this, if you look in our verse number 1, he says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. How many of you guys would say, I am a morning person? I am not a morning person. So if you're, wait, put your hands up if you're not a morning person. How many of you would still keep them up if you're a night person? How many are neither? You're like, I'm a midday person. Me, I like mornings. Me and my wife are completely opposite. I like mornings. She likes evenings. I'm done by 8 o'clock, okay? And I'm pretty boring in that aspect, but that's okay. But David said this, early in the morning will I seek thee. Now, I'm not advocating early or late or whatever, but what I think here is that he said early in the morning will I seek thee. He had to sacrifice something in order to make his time for God. Okay. He had to, you've been there, you know, your alarm goes off, you wake up, and it's still dark, and you start to, you know, this bed is so comfortable, it is still so warm in here, you know, you've been there, and I'm sure David was there a few times, but he had to sacrifice something in order to make his time for God, and what he did was say, early, that's the time I can give to God, so that's the time I'm going to give to God. I may sacrifice rest, I may sacrifice comfort, but I'm still going to do it. Why? Because he knew in the end that sacrifice was going to be well worth it. And that's true for us too. Whatever sacrifices we have to make to make some time for God, it's going to be well worth it. Maybe we have to take some time from something, some hobby or some you know, TV or something to give time for God. But make time for God because it is well worth it in the end. So developing our relationship with God, we can make time for God. Then we can talk to God. Our relationships wouldn't go very far without communication, right? We've all heard that, you know, we hear it in couples retreats and different things that communication, you know, it's important. It is vital, and it is vital. And I think about, again, my relationship with my wife, if I didn't talk to her ever, and to me, like, I'm not a talker, you know, usually I'm not a talker, so, you know, that's something that's more difficult. But, you know, here, our relationship with God is, we should be able, and we should be talking to God as well. First of all, we should allow him to speak to us. And how does he speak to us? He speaks to us through his word. And this is important. And what I mean through his word is be here when the preaching time comes, okay? He speaks to you through his word. Okay, how will God speak to you? Through the preaching of his word. When you're here at church, when you're here Sunday night, or Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever it is, and be here and allow God to work through that and speak to your hearts. Not only through the preaching time, but also through personal Bible reading. God wants to talk to you. God doesn't just want to speak to you when you're at church. He wants to talk to you. He wants to have that relationship with you while you're at home and that personal Bible reading time as well. But not only talking to God, allowing Him to talk to you, speaking to Him through prayer. And I think this is awesome. I have a couple of verses here, but prayer, if I'm sure in many of you, it's one of those Christian disciplines that can be, there can be some real spiritual warfare there. I mean, especially if you're doing it in the morning. I think, David says early in the morning. I'm sure there was mornings where he was tired. You know, there's some warfare that goes on there. But I love this. If you're really desiring this relationship with God, the greatest thing about prayer is that God, the God of the universe, the God who has, I'm sure, that He's doing a lot of things, He will hear you. David said this in Psalm 66:19, "But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer." I love that. David said, you know what? There's all this stuff going on, but God is hearing me. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." God wants to hear us, and He wants to have that communication with us. And not only can we make time for God and talk to God, we can also, and this is kind of, I'll explain what I mean, but talk about God. What I mean is when we have an interest, if you spend any amount of time with somebody, you're going to know what their interests are by what they're talking about, right? If you get around me, I like to talk about history. Are any of my students in here? I guess just Dakota. Mitchell, you're back there. Oh, Thomas is here too. Okay, I like history. I teach 3 classes in history every day. I like United States history. My favorite class to teach is government, which I don't get to teach this year. Next year I'll get to teach. That's my favorite class to teach. Now, I don't like politics, but I like government. If that makes sense, if it doesn't make sense, I just like talking about government, not so much politics. It's just confusing to me. But I like it. And if you get around me, I might bring up a history story or whatever. There's other interests of mine. But if you are around somebody, you're gonna know what they are, what their great interests are by what they talk about. Okay, our desire and our growing relationship with God should fuel our desire to tell others or talk to others about God. And, you know, this can be true in the fact of soul winning, in the fact of telling lost people about Christ and telling lost people about God. And if we talk, if it's something that we have this deep relationship with God, if we have this a growing relationship with God, I'm going to want to talk about Him, first of all, to the lost, but also in our fellowship with believers. You know, think about your conversations. How much does God come up? Is that something, because of your growing relationship, is that something that we talk a lot about? Is that something that even comes up in our conversation? But if we have that relationship, we should want to talk more and more about God. So I see, first of all, we need to develop a knowledge of God. Second, we need to develop a relationship with God. And last, we need to develop a love for God. A love for God. Once we get to really know someone, through that knowledge process, getting to know God a little bit more, and we spend that time with Him and that growing in that relationship, we're going to grow in love with Him. Okay, that knowledge grows into a relationship, which grows into a love for Him. And I love this. Why do we love Him? Because He, first of all, He loved us. Listen to just a couple of verses here. 1 John 4:19 says this, "For we love Him because He first loved us." John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world." John 15:13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Romans 5:8 says this, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." How can we grow in our love for God? Is because we know of His love for us. And we think about if we're growing in this relationship, but if we understand this aspect of God, that how much God loves us, and we know, man, you know, do I even love myself? But the fact that, man, God loves me, that's an amazing truth. And if we grow in that, if we're growing in our relationship, we're going to grow in this love. I love this. Out of this love will come a deep devotion and commitment to serve Him. God, this is what I like. I like 2 Corinthians 5:14. Paul says this, Paul's greatest motivator was God's love in his life. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says this, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Paul says this, "I'm going to keep on doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to keep on growing in my walk with God." Why? Because Christ loves me. Okay, and I'm going to keep on growing my relationship with Him. Why? Because He loves me. So God promises us that if we seek Him, if we actively pursue this relationship with Him, and if we're trying to grow in our love for Him, that we will find him. Jeremiah 29, 13 through 14 says this, "And ye shall seek me and find me, and ye shall search for me with all of your heart," and I love this, "and I will be found." God says, if you are pursuing me, if you are actively trying to get to know me, you're going to find me, and you're going to grow in that relationship. But it's our job to search for him, and like David said, to follow hard after him. I love the verse when he says, "My soul falleth hard after thee." That whole phrase talks about a cleaving to God, a grasping to God, like, I am not going to let you go. And that's what David was talking about, how much he wanted to get to know God. We pursue after many things. We have ambitions, we have hobbies, entertainment, even security. But hopefully one of our greatest pursuits is that of God. Summer's coming. You know, summer's coming. We're going to have some vacation time maybe. We're going to have some extra time with the kids. We're going to have just some extra time. Summer's coming and many things are going to vie for our attention. Let's make God our primary pursuit this summer. Let's say my relationship with God, I may have some extra time, so I'm going to devote some of that extra time to this, my pursuit of God and my relationship with God. So grow in your knowledge of God, grow in your relationship with God, and grow in your love for God. Let's pray. Well, let's all stand together if we would, and we'll pray at this time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this evening, Lord.